Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you this evening, and for the opportunity of sharing God's word with you this evening. As we come to the word, let us come to the Lord of the word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth. We thank you that it is inerrant truth, infallible, authoritative, and effective truth. We pray, Lord, that you would use your truth in our lives to great effect this evening. We pray with our Lord and Master that you would sanctify us this evening by your truth. Your word is truth. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak now, for we as your children, the sheep of your pastor, are listening. Pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, as we come this evening, we are certainly living in very, very uncertain times. And I know that in a fallen world, all times are uncertain, but certainly we at this time are living in particularly uncertain times with the pandemic going on around the world, with the lockdowns at various stages in various countries, people losing jobs, people losing their businesses, all of those kinds of things are going on right now. There's so much uncertainty. You as a church are facing uncertainty without a pastor at this point in time. Malcolm facing uncertainty just in terms of his health. Sue and I facing uncertainty as the Lord seems to be doing something in our lives and turning our attention toward the UK. We've been in the church we're in at the moment for 21 happy years, and now suddenly we're at a stage where the Lord seems to be loosening the roots and turning our gaze towards the UK, to England in particular. And so the point is, I don't know this evening exactly what the Lord is doing in your lives, corporately as a church, or even individually as individuals. To be honest, I don't even really know what he's doing in our lives at this point in time. We simply follow him step by step. But the one thing that I can say that I do know of what he is doing is this. He is sanctifying us. We read in, and Malcolm quoted, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that we know that in all things God is at work for good for those who know him and love him and are called according to his purpose. And then verse 29 says that he's doing that to conform us to the image of his son. So he's about the business of sanctifying us. And so this evening, what I want us to do is I want us to look at him, and if you were to give this sermon a title, it would be "The Lord, Our Sanctifying Shepherd," because he is leading us like a shepherd, and he is leading us in a path of sanctification. Now, very often when we speak about sanctification, we think of it as that progress of work where after we've been justified by faith, by grace through faith, God progressively sanctifies us more and more as we deal, not only having been forgiven for the punishment of our sin, we now are given power over the various sins in our lives. And we think of that as the sanctification process. But I want to put it to you this evening, there are really three aspects to sanctification. There is what we would not only call the progressive aspect of sanctification, but there is also a positional aspect to sanctification. By that, I mean that God takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and he moves us into his kingdom of light. So he is setting us apart. He is sanctifying us. He sanctifies us by having set us apart from others and from the position that we we're in. So we have a positional sanctification, and then we also look forward to a perfected sanctification. That day when he comes or calls and we go to be with him in glory and we are removed from the presence of sin, then our sanctification will be perfected. So you've got these three aspects to sanctification: our positional sanctification, a status of who we are, Christ's people, his, the sheep of his pasture. We have the progressive sanctification by which he is making us more and more holy, grace to grace, and then the perfected sanctification as we come to perfection in glory itself. Now, all three of those are visible in Psalm 23. If you look at verse 1, that is a statement of our positional sanctification. It's a statement of fact. It's a statement of our status. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. A statement that the Lord has claimed us for his own. We belong to him. We are his personal private property. That is our positional sanctification. We see then in verse 6, the last part of verse 6, and I'm jumping to that because it's a quick and easy one to do. He says, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever, looking forward to that perfected sanctification that we will one day get to. And really everything in between verses 2 through to the first part of verse 6 really all speak about that progressive sanctification, what the Lord is doing in our lives at this time, letting me rest in green meadows, leading me beside peaceful streams, renewing my strength, guiding me along right paths, and so on and so forth. And so that's really the structure that I want us to look at this evening. And I want to show you this evening that the New Testament shows us Christ as central in each one of those aspects of our sanctification. So in the first place, I want you to see God, or Christ rather, as our good shepherd who sanctifies us positionally. And Malcolm quoted from John chapter 10, where Jesus speaks about himself as the good shepherd. And so here we have it in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He owns me. It's a statement of ownership. And this aspect of our sanctification overlaps largely with our justification. But when we speak of it in terms of positional sanctification, what we are looking at is we are focusing on that fact that he sets us apart. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, where Paul is greeting the church at Corinth, he says, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people, his own sanctified people. We have the same thought in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, where the writer to the Hebrews says, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. To be made holy. It's that positional sanctification. We have been sanctified by him. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, and in Hebrews 10, verse 10, the verb there for being made holy or being sanctified is in the perfect tense. In other words, it is looking at the action that took place in the past, but has a lasting effect now. That's what the perfect tense is about. And so we have been made holy, sanctified by him when we came to salvation, and we are now standing in that position. If I can just illustrate it in this way, if you think about the the knives that they would use in the temple for the sacrifices. These were just normal knives that were like any other knives, but these particular knives, they would take them apart from all of the other knives, and they would keep them in a special place, and they would use them only for that purpose of those sacrifices. So they were sanctified, set apart for that holy use. We all have, in that sense, we all have sanctified things in our homes. You've probably got a tea set somewhere in a display cabinet, perhaps, that is set apart for specific use. Only when you get very special guests do you bring out that particular tea set. It is sanctified. It's set apart. I think the most sanctified item in all of our homes is our toothbrush. It's the one thing we really set apart for our own personal use. We don't share it with anybody else. And so in the New Testament, we see this setting of us apart, making us holy, a holy people belonging to him, is displayed in John chapter 10, where Jesus calls himself the good shepherd who sacrifices his life for his sheep. Let me just read that from John chapter 10. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. So you see the specific specificity of Jesus calling his own flock to himself as the good shepherd. And so we are his, we belong to him. He purchased us for himself through his death on the cross as the good shepherd, laying down his life for his sheep, dying for them and purchasing them. So as we look at this, we see the Lord is our sanctifying shepherd, the good shepherd sanctifying us by his shed blood. But that's not where the New Testament leaves it. In fact, if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, we see here a picture of Christ being the chief shepherd who sanctifies us perfectly. Again, looking to that ultimate place where we will totally be removed from the presence of sin. You know, we speak about good, better, best. Well, we've seen Jesus as the good shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, we see him as the best shepherd. In the New Living Translation, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor." Most translations say when the chief shepherd appears. In fact, the Greek word that is used there is the word arch. So he is the arch shepherd. He's the archbishop. He's the top. There's no one greater than him. And on the day that he, the chief shepherd, the arch shepherd, when he appears on that day, says Peter, then we will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So looking forward to that perfected sanctification, and that's going to be done for us by our shepherd, our chief shepherd, our arch shepherd. That day when one day sin will be no more. What a glorious day it is to look forward to. I'm not sure if you are familiar with the song by Matt Redman, where he sings about one day you'll make everything new, Jesus. One day you'll bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away. No more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved. Every anxious thought left behind. No more fear. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll shout and sing the victory. And beloved, that we can look forward to because Jesus is our arch shepherd, our chief shepherd. And so the Lord is our good shepherd who laid down his life for us to claim us as his own. And he is the chief shepherd, the arch shepherd, who is coming back for us. And he will complete on that day what he has promised to do. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I am persuaded that he will complete that work that he has done on that day. But in the meantime, not only is he our good shepherd, and not only is he our chief shepherd, the good shepherd who began the work, and the chief shepherd who will complete the work, but we see that he is also the great shepherd who progressively sanctifies us and carries out and continues that work. So, as I mentioned in verses 2, right the way through to the first part of verse 6 of the 23rd Psalm, that is what David is speaking about. And when you turn to the New Testament, we see exactly the same picture. So in Hebrews chapter 13, the well-known benediction that we often say at the end of our services, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. And here in the Greek, it says he is the Greek word is megas. He's the mega shepherd, if you like, the great shepherd of the sheep. And we see here in Hebrews chapter 13 that this great shepherd of the sheep, who David describes in verses 2 through to 6 of the 23rd Psalm, is the one who equips us with everything that we need for doing his will. We see that he is the one who is producing in us every good thing that is pleasing to him. And friends, so often when we think about sanctification, we don't really think of God's work in that. You know, we think very easily about the fact that God in his sovereignty has saved us. Our salvation is his work by his grace, to his sovereign purposes alone, all of him and none of me. When we think of our glorification, we accept that he is the one that will keep us for all eternity. No one will pluck them out of my hand. No one will pluck them out of the Father's hand. As Malcolm even referred to, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, Philippians chapter 1, he who began the good work in you will bring it to completion. So we see, and we accept that, and we are happy with this fact that God is completely sovereign in our justification. He is completely sovereign in our glorification. But so often we think, well, we've got to do all the part in between. That's where it becomes our responsibility. My sanctification is up to me. Well, yes, there is a good part of the responsibility belongs to us. But that's only one wing of the airplane. The other wing of the airplane is the fact that Christ, God, our triune God, is sovereign in our sanctification as well. And so I want to just show that to you this evening. So if you look at that in Hebrews chapter 13, notice this. It is, he is praying that the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. He's the one that will equip you to do it. You can't do it by yourself. Yes, as I say, we have a responsibility, but we can't do it by ourselves. May he equip you for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. And all glory to him forever for that sanctifying work. You think of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace of God toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Here is Paul saying, I don't even deserve to be an apostle. I persecuted the church. I'm a Johnny come lately, and I don't deserve to be called an apostle. But I know that I'm not what I should be. I know that I'm not what I one day will be. I know I'm not what the Lord expects me to be. I know that I'm not even what I want myself to be. But I know that I'm not what I once was. The grace of God has not been without effect in my life. It's had an effect in my life. And yes, I've worked very hard, but not I. But it was a Christ who was working. God was working with me. And so, friends, as we are living our lives, that's the process that we're in right now. In these uncertain times, in all that we are going through, this is the process that we are in right now. He, by his sovereign providence, is doing a work in your life, doing a work in my life, to sanctify us for his glory, working everything together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It may not be pleasant. We may not understand it. We may not like it. We may be like Job, who kept on asking God, why? What is this? Why is this happening? And complaining to God, I don't like it. I don't understand it. But friends, what we do know is he's at work. He works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And that might be through a frowning providence, but he is sanctifying us. I recall some Zambian friends of ours, we were having a Reformed Baptist conference in Johannesburg many years ago, and a whole group of brothers and sisters from the Reformed Baptist churches in Zambia had hired a bus, and they were coming down to Johannesburg to be part of this Reformed Baptist conference. And before they left, as the bus arrived, it broke down and they didn't have the spares to fix it, and they didn't have another bus that they could call on. And so all of their plans to come down to the conference ended in disappointment. And they wrote a report to a little magazine that I was editing at the time called Reformation Africa South. They wrote a report saying, we all went on our way homeward, thanking God for this disappointing act of his providence. And I really saw in that some people who understood how God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, even when we don't like it. And so if we believe Romans 8 and verses 28 and 29, what I want to say to you this evening is this: whatever it is that you are facing, whatever it is you're going through, whatever uncertainties, whatever difficulties, whatever joys, whatever positive things you're experiencing right now, the blessings that the Lord may be pouring out on you right now, I want to say to you, whatever it is, it's better. It's better because he is working all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So this is better, and he's leading us into a better place, and he's leading us to make us better. And so, beloved, this evening, by his death, our Lord Jesus Christ sanctifies us positionally as the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. By his resurrection, he is sanctifying us progressively as the great shepherd who was brought back from the dead, equipping us for every good work. And at his return, at his appearing, he will sanctify us completely and perfectly as the chief shepherd, the arch shepherd. So the Lord is our sanctifying shepherd this evening. That's what he is doing in your life and mine. Let us rely on him today. Let us trust him. Let us submit to him as he is busy sanctifying us, no matter what we are going through. And he will lead us, and he will make his way plain to us. Many years ago, there was an advert, Nissan. I don't know if they had it in the UK, but in South Africa, Nissan had a advert, and the slogan of the advert was, "Life's a journey. Enjoy the ride." I want to say to you this evening, sanctification is a journey. From positional sanctification to perfected sanctification, it's a journey. Enjoy the ride. And be sanctified in that ride. Be thankful to God in that ride, and trust in and follow our shepherd. May the Lord help us to do that tonight and into this week that lies ahead. May he bless you, and may he be with each one of us to work out those purposes in our lives. Let us pray. Lord, how we thank you for the wonderful truth that the God whom we serve, the God to whom we belong, is not some distant deity, not some distant impersonal power, not some idol, but he is a personal God who is intimately involved in each one of our lives, working out your purposes in our lives for your glory. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us, you have chosen us, you have saved us by your grace for your glory. And right now you are at work in each one of our lives, conforming us to the image of your Son for your glory. And we look forward, Lord, to that day when one day we will be with you in glory, beholding your face. So, Lord, be with us now as we continue and undertake for us in this week that lies ahead, that we may follow you, our shepherd, step by step, being sanctified by you. Amen.